In Galatians, we've come to the second chapter, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, Titus being a Grecian, Titus being a Gentile. And I went up by revelation, that is going to be direct from the Lord Jesus Christ, and communicated unto them being the people that are at Jerusalem, that gospel. He's not checking it out to see if he's right or wrong. He's telling them what the deal is, which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them, which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run in vain. He didn't want to waste his time if they rejected his message and didn't understand it. It was over their head, which to some extent it was, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, where Peter says that Paul was talking about things hard to be understood. That neither Titus, verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we give place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
Amen.
Verses 3, 4, and 5 are one sentence. Confusion engendered by this one sentence runs rampant through the expositors and commentators and commentaries. Neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled. Does not verse 3 say Titus was not compelled?
That's right.
You'll find, if you read around, that about half of what you read will say he was compelled.
Mm-hmm.
The verse says he wasn't.
Amen.
Neither Titus. Why wasn't he? They wanted to, this is the leaders to whom Paul spoke. But these false brethren that snuck in unawares are wanting to test this liberty business.
Mm-hmm.
How far does it go? And so the false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Their function is to bring us back under the weak and beggarly elements of the law, to bring us back into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection. No. Now, he says that in a way that you don't talk and I don't talk. I might say, I didn't pay any attention to him. But Paul says, to whom we gave place by subjection, which is a positive statement, and then he reverses it.
Mm-hmm.
He says we gave place. No, he didn't. Without a careful reading, and it's three verses constituting one sentence, you can get tangled up in your grammatical underwear. For the truth of the gospel might continue with you, that the truth of the gospel might continue. So, no, we didn't subject ourselves to these false brethren who wanted us in under bondage. No, we didn't circumcise Titus. No, we didn't do any of those things. His sentences sound like, here's what we did. Was compelled to be circumcised, to whom we gave place. If you're not careful, you'll read it backwards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me that college-educated men are capable of reading it backwards.
Yeah.
But you read it in commentaries, and you'll see that quite a few of them do.
Mm-hmm.
So, here we are. And remember now, the issue on the table is the Acts 15 conference. And the issue on the table in Acts chapter 15, verse 1, is the compelling to be circumcised.
Yes.
Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. A soteriological issue, soteriology, the study of salvation. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation, apparently a grace unity conference did not break out.
No.
Apparently somebody was right and somebody was wrong. What a concept. No ecumenical egalitarian love fest here. They had a fight, an imbroglio, and that is what's going on in Acts chapter 15. Now, the debate in Acts chapter 15 referred to in Galatians chapter 2 is as current as your cousin Fred. Because the issue debated then is present right now. Are there things you have to do in order to be saved? Or are there not? The issue on their table was circumcision. The issue on your table likely is good works. Likely is baptism, church membership, tithing, and you know, those kinds of things. But they'll put on the table those issues, and that's the debate. There was a works orientation for the nation Israel.
Yes.
There was a performance under the covenant. Now it's by grace through faith. So the issue is joined. And the debate is ongoing, and it sure sounds like a shout match to me.
Yes.
It sure sounds like, have you ever watched some of these cable news shows when they have, obviously there's no ugly girls in journalism class. They have all these beautiful women, and they have a couple of rock star looking gentlemen, and they all five of them talking at once. You can't understand any of them. That's good TV, right? Boy, that's really advancing the discussion. I have a notion that's what Acts 15 was like. Everybody's yapping, well, I know this and I know this, and I was with the Lord in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so I know, and I was with the Lord as the resurrected Christ. You know, I can just imagine. So the specific issue here is, of course, circumcision. It's the year 2010. You want to go to the Miami Valley Hospital and see if boy babies are still being circumcised? Now, they'll hedge it with you.
Well, it's a health issue.
Well, if that's all it was, that'd be interesting, but it's not. They're not comfortable, or they wouldn't lie to you. But the works of Acts chapter 15 with circumcision, today it might be something else. But understand, we haven't moved an inch. We're still fighting over the church of the do and the church of the done.
That's right.
Either you need to do some things or it's all been done. Now, we know, of course, from Romans chapter 11, verse 6, it's no more works. The definition of works excludes a free gift. The definition of grace as the free gift excludes performance to earn it. They are mutually exclusive concepts.
Yes.
Which is why you have friends and relatives who hear you say, well, there are verses that teach contrary doctrines in the Bible, and they think you said the Bible has a mistake in it.
Yep.
Bible doesn't have any contradictions in it.
You knucklehead, it has hundreds of contradictions in it, but no mistakes.
Yes.
A contradiction is not a mistake. A mistake is not a contradiction. Contrary information. You're going to leave here, you're going to pull up to Smithville Road, and there's going to be a red light. The other people got a green one.
Right.
That's contradictory information. It's right for those people, it's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a mistake either time, but you run the red one. That would be a mistake. So, what we've got then in Galatians chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5 is one sentence that can be difficult. Now, if you think it's difficult in English, and it is, fool around with the Greek for a while, and it gets difficulter. Which ain't a word, but neither is ain't, so what do I care? What was the quote I gave you the other day from Mark Twain? If you did speak proper English, whom would you speak it to?
That's so funny.
Whom would you speak it to? Ah, well. So, Paul had already spoken to the leadership of the meeting in private. In comes these false brethren, unawares. We used to call the outhouse the privy. Because what you did out there, you did in private. So, privy, privily. You see the word? You know it's in private. And he met to them in private. And 14 years... he met with them after 14 years. He met with them in private, and he gave them the information. He didn't want to waste his time having a the very thing that happens, a fight. So a fight breaks out. Now, here comes Titus. He's with Paul, and it's an interesting thing. He's a Gentile.
Yes.
I'm circumcised heathen. I call this lesson, Paul brings a pork chop to a bar mitzvah. Because what you've got going on here is Paul bringing a live illustration onto the scene that a guy can be saved without being circumcised.
Yes.
Now, circumcision, the first 12 times it shows up in your Bible, is always physical. It's never spiritual. It shows up as spiritual circumcision in Colossians chapter 2. And so the issue of physical circumcision is the literal circumcision is what we're talking about here. As Gentiles, Titus, as a believer, would fall under Acts 13, verses 38 and 39, and that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law of Moses, of course, included circumcision. So, Peter should have known this. From Acts 10 with Cornelius in verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But there's problems. These false brethren brought in unawares, came in privily to spy out Pauline liberty. And so the false brethren, while they did not compel Titus to be circumcised, seem to be putting another kind of a devious approach onto the table. We won't compel him, but won't you subject to it? Baptism isn't required for salvation, but won't you subject to it? So that seems to be their approach.
Yeah.
And I think the issue in verses 3, 4, and 5, the one sentence, is Titus wasn't compelled, but after all, we've been doing it a long time, won't you subject? To whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour.
Amen.
Because had we, the truth of the gospel would have been undermined.
Yes.
See in verse 5?
That's the issue.
So, this reminds me of water baptism in Baptist churches. They'll tell you it's not necessary for salvation, but you need to subject to it. It's got perpetuity as its authority. Jesus was baptized. Shouldn't you follow him in baptism? Not knowing he was baptized twice and you picked the wrong one.
Yes.
Not knowing that it's John's baptism where he repents for remission of sins and you are saved by grace through faith, not by turning, as repentance doesn't mean turning. Why? You can't be a deacon here. You haven't been baptized. You can't. You want to sing in the choir? Why, you're not a duly baptized, authorized member of our assembly. So get your bottle of white out and go to Colossians chapter 2 and white out that you're complete in Christ. Mm-hmm. Because you're not.
Yep.
You have to be baptized. To demonstrate obedience, it's required for church membership, it's required to take communion for the closed communion churches. You don't have the privileges of membership if you don't subject. That is something that should just cause the hair on the back of your neck to bristle up, because you are Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, stand fast ye therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free.
Amen.
You're at liberty. I've said it over the years that one kind of slavery has been replaced with another kind of slavery. And it is a denominational chain,
yes,
binding people to less of a life than they could have, limiting their opportunity because of the denominational chains that have bound the intellect and the talent and the opportunity that people have, but they are limited by the head of the church, which is not Christ, but the guy in the pulpit and the deacon board.
Yes.
The false brethren in this passage can be found all over America.
Oh, yes.
The leaders of almost every denomination believe that they have authority over their flock.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because they're the shepherd. I had preached to me, sitting in my Baptist pew, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 and 13, telling me that I need to submit to my pastor because he's going to answer for me and my service at the judgment seat of Christ, which could only be true if I'm in a duly authorized Baptist church. Outside of that, I don't have anybody to speak for me at the judgment seat of Christ.
Oh boy.
That's something.
Yeah.
All comes together, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So you create this organizational structure by which you've lost your direct access, you've lost your direct service to the master in the pulpit.
Yes.
Who dresses like Zorro and talks to God when you can't. It robs you of who you are. It robs you of your body of Christ, real membership, and replaces it with this human creation.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you have to be baptized right.
Yeah.
The debate over method of baptism gets ludicrous.
Yeah.
Of course, you've got the apostolics that tell you that you have to be baptized in Jesus' name. If you're not baptized in Jesus' name, you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then you were baptized wrongly, and you need to be rebaptized. I saw a Southern Baptist pastor in Vandalia, and he performed a baptism, and it was in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus' name. So he covered all four.
Yeah.
Because he was wise to the fact that the apostolics were in town confusing people.
Yeah.
So he said all four. Now, the Brethren denomination has split over whether you baptize a person once or three times. And then the split.
Yeah.
If you baptize three times, do you baptize backwards or do you baptize frontwards? Face down. Okay. So you've got a split of a split of a split over something they shouldn't be doing at all.
Yeah.
And they will fight you over baptized back because that picture's death. They will fight you three times, once for the Father, once for the Son, once for the Holy Ghost. They will fight you. Got to be in Jesus' name. These are unsaved people arguing unsaved religious issues.
Yes.
If anybody gets saved in that environment, it's in spite of the environment, not because of it.
Exactly.
Other things that people throw out these days, instead of circumcision, would be tongue talking, Sabbath observance, living a holy life, enduring to the end. Now, second blessing holiness is the doctrine whereby you have, in addition to salvation, an experience of complete sanctification.
Yeah.
And that is something of the Wesleyan holiness movement. It's less so among other holiness denominations because falling apart and apostasy of all things, but the concept is you don't sin anymore. How self-deluded would you have to be to buy into you don't sin anymore? Answer? There's millions of them. Must not be that hard. Let's redefine sin.
Yes.
So the redefinition of sin happens to be in the book of Galatians. Now this I get from the fellow who I told you is the grandfather of most every holiness doctrine that's being preached today, Finus Jennings Dake. Here they are. Galatians 5, verse 19. Adultery, lose your salvation. Fornication, lose your salvation. Uncleanness, well, they're going to have to write a book and define for you what uncleanness. Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. I am not a witch, I'm running for a senator. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness. You make a list. And then you don't do what's on that list. Not the Bible definition that the thought of foolishness is sin, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Not the Bible definition of any transgression of the law is sin. We make a list. That as long as we can stay off that list, and if we happen to hit one of the 13 items on that list, then what do? We first yell 1-9 it.
Yeah.
We confess it real quick. So are you enduring to the end? Are you keeping the law? Are you keeping confessed up? Oh, I never go to bed except I make sure I pray and got all my sins forgiven.
Yeah.
Making the cross of Christ, not affecting the
cross. Yeah.
Now, do you take communion every week? Might be one foreign to you. The Roman Catholic Church will say if you don't participate in the Mass for a certain period of time, and it differs, then you are no longer a member. Of course, if you're no longer a member of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, you're in trouble.
Oh,
the Church of Christ, there's a lot of them around here, have communion every Sunday morning. There are five things required in every Church of Christ service, and one of them is the taking of communion. If you're ever visiting a big Church of Christ, not one with 50 people, but one with 500 people, you will see the most amazing sight you have ever seen in your entire life. Imagine getting bread and a wafer, the bread and the wine, to 500 people. They've got scores of ushers, and it is military precision. Zoom, zoom, wham, bam, and it's over.
Yeah,
you've never seen anything like it in your life. Every week they have to do it. It can't take an hour.
Yeah.
So, false brethren, they so outnumber really saved people, it's scary.
Yeah.
We're not that way. Paul didn't regard them, no, not for an hour. Didn't give them any rope, no latitude. That's not very loving, huh? That's not very Grace Unity Conference like.
No.
Paul's concern was the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. Now, I've given you down the rest of the page what the gospel ain't. James 2:24, then you see how that by works a man is justified. Roman Catholic Church will tell you it's works. Mm-hmm. Quite a few others will agree with them about works. Acts 2:38, you've got your apostolic, your Church of Christ. Actually, when you read the statements of faith of many a denomination, Acts 2:38 is included in the statements of faith.
Yes.
You tend to be baptized in Jesus' name.
Yes.
For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The problem, obviously, is no death, no burial, no resurrection is being presented. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, what the gospel ain't? Well, he's living right, he must be saved. Well, he went back to the vomit, he must be lost. You don't know either of those things based on performance. If the truth were known, you visited a lot more vomit than you ought to.
Oh, yeah.
If the truth were known, you're not as spotless as you would have us all to think. I say that for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, Second Blessing Holiness is going to embrace the performance.
Yeah.
Those folks are so difficult because they tend to live in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which means they turn the other cheek all the time. They're so loving and so sweet. How can you not like these people? Church of God Anderson, Indiana, Blessed in Holiness, the Church of God Cleveland, the Church of God Anderson. Sweet, sweet folks. Why? If they're not sweet, they must not be saved. They could lose it. So they're not sweet because they are.
Yeah.
What you have then underlying most of that is dead men's bones, and they turn out to be some of the meanest scum you'll ever encounter in your entire life.
Absolutely.
Backbiting, backstabbing, that's who they turn out to be. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, the idea of wallowing in the mire. I can remember. It would be laughable today, but I've lived a long time. I can remember I wrote a newspaper column, Whatever Happened to Christian Music? And it sounds like a bar room in churches anymore. And they got drums and guitars and the beat of the disco and all of that kind of stuff. That now, I don't know if I could ever get it published anywhere.
No.
At the time, you Google Whatever Happened to Christian Music, my column from 20 years ago will pop up.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a time when preachers preached against Hollywood movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mixed bathing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How funny is that now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Co-ed dorms at a Catholic school.
Oh, yeah.
Help me out, people. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, if you fall from your own steadfastness, you can lose your salvation. That is a denial of the gospel of the grace of God. But if you have people who think they're steadfast.
Yeah.
I remember one of Carol's more obnoxious customers. He ordered a book that we would not carry for more reasons than I can count. It was a 20-some dollar book, Church of Christ, sermons, all different Bible versions. It was garbage. Peter, something or other. He ordered it. Special order. I got the special order and I had hair apparently. I was pulling out what little hair. And of course he stiffed us.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't want to buy it when it came in. So I played my trump card. It'll cost you your salvation, brother. At least you got rid of the book. First John 1:9, the idea of confessing sins in order to be saved is not the gospel. Hebrews chapter 6, not turning, not the gospel. What the gospel ain't. This December, when I read the things about which Brother Justin would have me to speak, one of them is how the grace message relates to the gospel. I've always wanted to have a 5-day set of meetings. And on Monday, preach you have to be baptized to be saved. On Tuesday, preach you have to endure to the end and live under the law in order to be saved. On Wednesday, teach that you have to turn from your sins in order to be saved. On Thursday, teach it's by grace through faith. And on Friday, let every man be fully persuaded in their own mind. Doesn't it say in the Bible there somewhere, you got to do this and you got to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so ever what?
Exactly.
If you're not rightly dividing the word of truth, you might as well read Aesop's Fables or Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh. Not Winnie the Pooh, it's Winnie the Pooh. Now, it seems to me, and I went back and forth on this, and I went upstairs and I said, Carol, what do you get when you read these three verses? And part of what was off-putting to me was there were so many people that thought Titus was compelled. In the King James English, he's not.
No.
And it seems to me the issue here is being compelled, or do you voluntarily subject to do something? Paul is not against the voluntary subjection, and that is important for you to know, because Paul sees to it that Timothy gets circumcised in the very next chapter. In the very next chapter, it's not a salvation issue.
That's it.
Tim's mom was a Jewish lady. Mm-hmm. And so you see that in the very next chapter, in Acts chapter 16, when he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewish and believed. And his father was a Greek, which was well reported to the brethren that there were Lystra and Iconium. He would, Paul, have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So that issue is not an issue with which I'll ever have to deal, except people are going to throw it up at me and say, well, what's the problem in Galatians chapter 2? What's the problem in Acts chapter 15 when he turns around and he does a circumcision? Good question, I guess. One was an issue of compelling it for salvation, and the other was a custom. And I would remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22.
Yes.
I would remind you of 1 Corinthians 9, 22, but I would say at the same time, stay away from the gray areas. If it's a gray area that can be confused by somebody, you are risking your testimony and you are risking fooling or confusing the weaker brother.
Mm-hmm.
So wisdom is to stay away from the gray areas. At that point, we're going to stop. And we'll pick up at one of the more significant sections in Galatians, chapter 2, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, next time. Amen?
Amen.